We have a treat today. Brother and Sister Brown are people who are truly precious to me and have been for some time. And I have admired their spirit, their humbleness, and their love for God. And they are individuals who have the privilege and the ability to speak into my life and to give me what thus saith the Lord. And I'm happy to have them here today. Sister Brown is going to be ministering to us in just a moment, and Brother Brown will be taking the second service. It is so important for us to have people we can look up to and respect, not from afar, but from close distances, people who you can, you know, I've talked a lot about this in terms of our church, and when we have people come in, we need to step up next to them and come alongside them and help guide them. And, you know, as we baptize people and they receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, many times throughout our history, and I mean our as in Christianity, we expect the baby converts to be more Christian-like than some of us. And our failings are understandable, but the new Christian, they ought to be more mature than we are. And, you know, and so part of where we come in our life is we need to start learning how to raise up baby Christians into adult Christians. And part of the joy of that is that means we cannot stay baby Christians for very long. We need to mature ourselves and get to that point where we can create and help develop baby Christians into mature Christians. And that necessity of people to kind of walk alongside you and to help guide doesn't stop when you're a mature Christian. And I'm grateful that the Lord has placed people like that in my life, that I can continue to grow, not just relying on him, but relying on him using other people, which seems to be his preferred method. And I'm grateful that the Lord has placed people like Brother and Sister Brown in our life. So let's listen carefully, and let's all say God bless Sister Brown as she comes to minister to us.
Praise the Lord, everyone. I must say that I'm the loud one at times. I think my husband is more quieter than I am. But don't mind that. I just love God. Amen? Amen. And you can be yourself. I'm just going to be myself. Is that okay with you all? All right. Let me greet you all in the mighty and precious name of Jesus Christ, now that I got that out of the way. And let me give honor to Pastor, he's the pastor of this church, Pastor Readout, John Readout and his wife, and Sister Readout and Brother Readout, my beloved. Let me give them honor and honor to every one of you here in this church. There's no big I's and no little U's. We're all God's children, aren't we? I love everyone. So I'm just letting you know that I love everyone. I don't have people that I can't love, regardless of what they do. Did you hear me? God forgives the murderer because it's a sin. Do we know that? Everyone. He forgives everyone. How dear me to think that I'm greater than God, that I can't forgive anyone. See, I had to learn that. I had to learn that along the way. Because you know how we are as human beings. I'm not ready yet, but I'm just giving you some prefit. I had to learn that along the way because, you know, as human beings, we like to hold grudges. So if we want God to forgive us, what the scripture says in Matthew, we have to forgive those who have wronged us. Isn't that what it says? Amen. It might not say that in that tense, but that's what it meant. And I'm not rewriting the Bible, because a lot of people, when you try to explain what's there, they say, oh, you're trying to rewrite the Bible. I'm not trying to rewrite the Bible. I'm just trying to explain it to you so you have a better understanding. I like to talk with my friends and giggle and carry on, but when I come to do this, I used to be afraid, and I prayed and I asked God, give me the boldness. Not necessarily the boldness that Paul had, but, you know, something that I can do it without shaking and worrying. So I'm getting there. So you see, I'm trying to get myself warmed up. I only had a few days notice, a few hours notice, so bear with me. And the thing about me is that I will not speak unless the Lord gives me something to speak, because I don't have time to waste other people's time. And it might, what I say might not seem like much to you, but it's going to be much because it came from the Lord. How many know that it's best to get a message from the Lord than to make one of your own or take one off the internet? I don't have time for that. So I said, God, these are your people and they need to hear from heaven today. And I'm all about people growing in the Lord and become powerful Christians, the Holy Ghost, the anointing and all that. I need that. Don't you do? And so I said, God, you've got to give me something. I need to speak to your people. See, because I learned a long time ago that they're not my people. It's not mine to do as I please. It's God's people. And so if I'm going to speak, it has to come from heaven, because it does good for their soul. And so this morning, God said to me when I began to pray, because I don't do it without praying. I said, God, I don't know what to say. I was going to say no, and my husband said, oh, no, you have lots of messages. I said, no, I need one for them. I need one that's going to work for them. I don't need a tailor message that I made and I preached somewhere else. I need one for this church. And he said, just give them some truth. Declare some truth to them. Just some things about me and about what I am to them. So I don't have scriptures like how people start with scriptures and tell you all the scriptures and what they're going to go down the line. The scriptures come in the body of it, and there are very few. But you'll confirm the word of God, because if you read the Bible, you'll understand where I'm coming from. So it's not Bible study or Sunday school today. It's some truths from God that God wants to remind us of. See, and I'm thankful for the way I am where God is concerned. Not that I'm better. Please, 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 please. By no means, I'm not measuring. But I like the fact that he can scold me. That's what I'm talking about. I do something. The other day, a lady said to me, she saw me at a function, and she said, oh, Sister Brown, how are you and Pastor Brown? I said, we're doing well. And I started to boast about how God healed. And I said, oh, God is so good. He healed both of us. We're doing well. I got home from that function, and I went to bed, and I was sleeping, and the Lord said, uh-huh, so you brag and boast how much I healed you. I heard you. I said, I know. And I'm waiting for what's coming. I'm in my sleep. And he said, but you never thanked her for her prayers. She prayed for you. You know what I did? I got up that morning and the conference was still going on. I wrote a note in a card and I brought it to her and I said, I'm so sorry. God scolded me. He said, I never thank you for your prayers here. And I ran. I handed her the card and I ran. And I said, okay, thank you, Jesus. You see, you have to put yourself in that position where God can speak to you. I wasn't going there. He's a speaking God. He's one that speaks if you will let him speak to you. Jesus is just a friend you do not know. So get to know him. You know, because we always say a stranger is just a friend you do not know. So if he's a stranger to you, get to know him. I'm not in my notes yet. You see, I go by the Spirit. I'm very sorry. So if I seem like I'm here, there, and everywhere, I'm letting God have his way. So I just give you that one as a tidbit so you can see. So let God work in your life. He said to me, declare some truths to them. Not anything that you do not know. I know your bishop and I know your pastor. And I know they have said these things over and over. So I'm not saying anything new. But if God said, declare. He didn't say tell them or speak to them, you know. He said declare some truth to them today. And they're simple things. They're not anything, but they're profound for God because God knows you need to be reminded. Amen. Somebody say amen. Amen. So now that I'm going to declare those truths to you, he said, remind them that there is just one God. And his name is Jesus. Do we really accept that? Because it's, I told you I'm loud. So I need to hear some sounds. He said, remind them that there is just one God and his name is Jesus. There's not two God, three God, four God, five God like some people have. But there's just one God and his name is Jesus Christ. Hey, Karabo Shata, and he fills the universe. My God is my God. I don't know about you, but I tell you something. He's done so much for me, I cannot tell it all. Praise God. I like Deuteronomy 6 and 4. It says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. He said, remind them that I'm the Almighty God. Or God Almighty, as some of us call him. And I have complete power. Omnipotent. I have all the powers. Praise God. And I like how Isaiah 9 and 6 declares, or 8. I may have had it written down wrong here, but I think it's Isaiah 9. It might be 8. Okay. 6. It declares his coming. I'm declaring the truth to you. I hope you're getting it, what God is saying. It says there, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God. Is he the mighty God in your life? Is he the mighty God in your life? Can you say he's your mighty God? Jesus. He's the mighty God. He's the everlasting Father. He's the Prince of Peace, to which there is no end. See, I like to hear God. When I don't hear him, I say, God, come on now. We need to talk. It's not his fault. It's mine. I decided to just drift away, you know, in the sunset and go play. And then I have to come back in, reel back in. Come on, God, we need to get together again. See, I don't see how people live their lives without God. Honestly, I don't understand. He said, just remind them that I'm sovereign. Still means that he's in power and authority. But I prefer to use this one. God never changes. He's always the same, yesterday, today, and forever. He said, remind them, I'm the Savior of the world. How many know he's the Savior of the world? How many know he hung on Calvary for you and I? How many know he died because you and I needed a Savior? We needed to be redeemed from our sins. We needed to be cleansed. We needed to be healed. There's so much that we needed that God had to go to that cross at Calvary. It was in Pilate's hall. He took that beating so you and I can have healing. Don't walk around sick and just say, hold me. Oh, drum, poor me. There is a God that heals. Amen. He's still healing. He's still saving. He's still filling people with the Holy Ghost. He's still doing mighty works. Hallelujah. He's still doing some great things among men. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I fail to believe that God still can't do miracles. We need to get to that place where when we walk out there, devils tremble. Not just praise God in the church. And I'm not critiquing, please by no means get the wrong impression. I'm here to build up. I'm here to lift up. We can do more than we're doing. And I'm talking about us. I'm not no different. I'm not on a pedestal. I'm trying, but I'm not there. Truly. I just want to be honest. If you know me, I'm too blunt and too honest. So sometimes I tell on myself. I'm sorry. Glory to God. But he still heals. He still saves. He still fills people with the Holy Ghost. The scripture tells us that in the last days, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. He's still doing that. We need to be reminded. We need to be cognizant of the fact that he's still doing those things. He hasn't stopped. He hasn't come yet. But one thing we need to recognize, we're in the last of the last days. And so we need to pull up and do the things that God has called us to do. So because he's the savior of the world, he's the redeemer of mankind. He redeems us from our sins. That's what he came to do, to buy us back to himself. Because we were a people estranged from God. So he came so he can just bring us back. And just remember, there's no sin too great that God cannot forgive you beside what the Bible says. There's one. So no matter what you do, please run to the altar. Say, God, and I'm not talking just the church altar. Make an altar in your home, a place where you pray. So it could be by your bedside, by your window, by your door, by you, whatever. Daniel chose to turn his face to the north through the window. You can choose wherever you want. But we need to just pray, learn to pray, and ask God to forgive us. And be very humble, because the fact of the matter is that most times we think that we've sinned, no use to pray, but there's a use to pray. Pray, God will forgive you. The only unforgiven sin outside that one is the one that you didn't ask for forgiveness. How many got that one? The one that you didn't ask God to forgive you of. So when you do, just ask him. Just ask. Another truth he wants us to know is that he's our Jehovah Jireh. Our provider. We oftentimes think we provide for ourselves. We work jobs. We do. I work the job. I get the pay. It's my money. No, it's God. God gave you the health and the strength so you can go to work. So you can get that big fat check. But God gave you the strength. He made the way. He made it possible. So we need to thank him each and every moment. When we wake up, we say, thank you, God, for another day. And if it's about the job, say, thank you, God, I can go to work today to get another check. You know, just give him thanks. Just give him thanks. Just learn to be thankful. He's your Jehovah Jireh, your provider. And he's the giver of all good things. As I hit that, I remember something, a message I had preached somewhere, and it was about love, and it talks about the mothers, and they have children, and they forget their husbands after they have a baby. Oh, I have to take care of this baby, and the husband is over there, and like, I have to take care of this baby. I like to have fun even when God gives me a message, because serving God is fun. I don't know why people make it a drudgery. I would not trade this life for anything else. I would not trade this life for anything else. I cannot see how people live outside of this life. Sometimes I see my friends who are within age group as myself, and they're not serving the Lord, never serve the Lord, and I see them and they look, and I'm like, God, please, my heart is breaking. I'm like, why are they looking like that? You see, the devil doesn't tell you that he's going to beat you up, but that's what he's doing. Don't serve him. Don't serve him. Because there's only two. You either serve God or where else you are. So serve God. The one that loves you so much. The one that died for you. The enemy of your soul did not die for you. Jesus did. Serve him with joy. Don't make it a drudgery. Serve him with joy. He loves you and he's going to open doors for you. And whenever you serve him, give him your best time. Amen. Praise God. Shato makararasata. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. He said, declare to them, I'm Jehovah Shalom, your peace. Sometimes we want peace. Remember, in the midst of your storm, because I'm going to say this now. Let me see if I can say it the right way, because it's not in my notes. Everyone has storms in their life. Those that serve the enemy of their soul and those that serve God. But it's better to be in the storm with Jesus than being a storm without him. So he's my peace. He is my peace. Is he your peace today? When troubles come and times get rough, just call on him. He's always there, never to leave you nor forsake you, even unto the end of the earth. He'll be there with you through the storm. He'll hold your hand, and the storm won't last that long. See, the only time we stay in the storm too long, and I found that out a long time ago, many years ago, is when you don't let Jesus take care of the storm for you. And there's a lesson to be learned in that storm. Learn it quickly. Ask him to help you to learn it quickly so you're out of the storm. Because as soon as you learn that lesson that you need to learn or whatever he's trying to, the storm is over. Just remember those things. Amen? Isaiah 26 and 3. Thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusted in thee. Ah, yes. Glory, glory, glory. Verse 4 says, and that was 3 I read, trust ye in the Lord forever. For in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. So even when you can't have any peace and you feel like you have no strength, just find him. Find him, Jehovah. Find him. Find him. Find him. He's Jehovah Rapha, the God that heals. He bore those stripes for you and I so we can be healed, and we are healed because he took them already. So our healing is just waiting for us. Because we don't know that, right? He's not going into Pilate's hall right now to get the whipping. He got them already. So our healing is already taken care of. We need to know that. God is not just going to prepare your healing now. Your healing is already done. So when you're sick, say, God, I'm ready for my healing. Here I am. Just bring it on, Jesus. Bring it on, Jesus. Bring it on, Jesus. Hey, Jesus. Bring it on, Jesus. Don't sit there and say, oh, I'm so sick. My husband and I have developed something where, and this is for every Christian, this is not just for us. As soon as the enemy comes in and he thinks he's going to walk in like he's something great, we let the Spirit of God take up a standard. And we said, devil, not here, not now, not ever. You have no place in our life. We belong to Jesus. The Spirit of God dwells here. This is where the Spirit of God dwells. You have no place here. And if it's a headache, if it's anything, a few months ago he was feeling something that we couldn't figure out what it was. And he would look at the doctors and said, I'm fine. I'm fine. He said, God is taking care of all of this. I'm fine. And I tell you, everyone look at us and he has a way about him that he just testified to all the doctors. So they all know there is a God. And we serve the one true living God. Even a Jewish doctor he had. He said, the difference between you and I, we believe that God, the Messiah came and left. And said, we don't believe that. I said, we know. And she starts to tell us what her Bible says. And we said, we know. And she said, how do you know all that? I said, because we're Christian. And the only difference between you and I, again, is that you don't believe he came. And we know he came. And my husband said, can I pray for you? And she said, certainly. And she bowed her head and we prayed. So you have to develop a boldness, like I said before. Not to be rude or bossy, but a boldness in the word of God. So God can use you wherever you are. You don't have to wait for a special moment for God to use you, but he'll use you whenever the time is right. So I'm assuming we all know him to be a healer, right? Yes, he is. I needed to ask you the question. He said to ask you the question, so I'm asking you the question. It's written here. I only write down what he tells me, and then the rest is filling for me. Because I seek him. I do not take this for lightly or for granted. I don't do that. This is not my turf. This is his. The church is God's entity. How many know that? That's why he says, I will build my church. He didn't say your church, you know, ours. He said, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. It's not my church. Yes. So he said, remind them I'm Jehovah Nissi. That's the Lord, my banner, which is love, because God is love, but also he's my protector. He protects each and every one of us. He protects every one of us. We need to know these things. Why is God saying that? Maybe because we lack the knowledge of who he really is to us. One time, if God asked me to do this, I'd be shivering in my boots. I wouldn't want to tell you. But I prayed and I said, God, you give me the boldness that when you ask me to do something, I'll just do it. It doesn't matter who is hearing it and who is looking. I'm just going to do it. I'd rather be obedient to God than be a disobedient to man. I'd rather be obedient to God. The scripture says, obedience is better than sacrifice. All the sacrifice you sacrifice, if you're not obedient to God, it doesn't amount to anything. And I'd rather be obedient to God than anything else. Thank you, Jesus. You allow me to be raised to be obedient, because outside of that, I would have struggled greatly. Amen. So he's our protector. He's our protector. He's our protector. He's our protector. Amen. Because you, whenever you need him, he's there to protect you. Just remember, he's your protector. The reason why I'm going to make this testimony, I want people to realize that God still wants to use people in the healing and in the prophetic and in miracles, signs, and wonders, wherever. I don't know why he laid that on my heart when he was speaking to me. This is not something I got just now. I made a note there. I have two testimonies that I want to just mention before I move on, because I need to move on. A few years ago, I was home, and I was getting ready. I said, I'm going to go up to Stop and Shop. I just needed something quickly. And, you know, I'm not poorly dressed at home. But the Lord said, dress as if you're going to church. This is talking about obedience now. Maybe because that's why he brought it back to my mind. And I said, but God, I'm just going to Stop and Shop. I should be able to go like this. And I'm arguing with God. God, there's nothing wrong with my clothes. And it's so funny that whenever I hear that voice, I know it. Do you know the scripture says, my sheep knows my voice? Amen. And not another will they follow. And I'm answering back as if he's right there. And I'm saying, but nothing is wrong with my clothes. I can. And he said, dress as if you're going to church and get ready like you're going to church. So I got ready and I went to Stop and Shop, and I'm like, I'm in the meat aisle. I'm in the little aisles looking for whatever I need. And there was this lady, very well-dressed, astute looking, and just nice and all that good stuff. And she had a baby in a carriage. And you're going to say, why do you tell the story? Because you don't know the end. But if God tells me, then God is going to do something. So here I am. I walk into Stop and Shop. I'm going down the aisles. And this lady had a baby on the cart. And she was a little baby girl. And she's well-dressed. And here am I dressing my church Sunday best with my pocketbook hanging on my... looking like... No, God will ask you to make yourself look like a clown in the midst of everybody, but you got to do it. And here I am. And it's the first time I'm using it as a testimony. And so this little baby kept reaching for me. Kept reaching for me. So I ignored, and because I don't like to interfere with people and their kids when they're, you know, in the store, because I don't know them. We're a different nationality. We speak differently and everything. So I said, okay. And like about five times that baby reached for me. So finally we're both at the meat section where the chicken is, because I wanted a chicken breast to go home and cook. And the little girl go around her mom in the cart, and she wave at me and I wave at her. And the mom turned around and I turned my back. And the baby did it again and I wave at her. And the third time the mom catch me. So I couldn't hide. I said, hi, how are you? You're so cute. And I walked over at that point, and the baby was in the cart. And I'm talking to the baby, and the baby's not saying anything, and the mom begins to cry. She looks like an Italian lady, but she begins to cry. And she said she cannot talk, and she's 2 years old. And I said, do you mind if I pray for her? I said, I'm not going to make a scene, because, you know, some people hear about Pentecostals and I look like one. So, you know, they're going to think I'm going to be, the whole story is going to come down. I didn't do that. I did not do that. I mean, I think God cultured me better than that. I mean, I said I'm loud. Don't get me wrong now. So I walk up and I said, I'm going to touch her hand. And the little baby's just smiling at me and smiling at me. She's so happy to see me. And I held her hand and I prayed for her. And the mom dried up her tears, and I said, this baby is going to talk. If she doesn't talk now, she's going to talk. She said, I have the pathologist, the one who helps you to speak. Yeah. She said, I have them coming on Tuesday or Thursday, she said. They will be trying to work with her so she can speak. And I said, believe me, she's going to speak. That's my job in the supermarket, to be dressed, look nice. Because had I been in my raggy clothes and walk up to her, she'd look at me and go, don't touch my baby. And I came back home and I said, God, you're too funny. I said, you mean I couldn't wear my clothes? And after that, that lady passed me three more times, and that baby never once reached for me. Never once after I prayed for her did that baby ever reached for me. She was in the aisle touching me in my back, the mother. We were both reaching up on a shelf to get something, and I look, and it's the mother and the baby in the cart, and the baby won't even look at me. Don't even look at me. And I'm not joking. This is not a story you conjure up. She never looked at me again, and I walk away. I said, God, this is how you want to do your stuff. Just do it. I don't even care. I didn't even take her number. So you might say, why did you tell me this story? I'm telling you because I'm showing you how God works. I don't have to know the end. He knows. He knows the end. He knows the end. I am doing this so it can lift your spirit, so you understand that God can use anyone. I am not special. I am not special. I'm serious. I'm not special. I usually say when they say that, I'm special ed. And that's why I looked at my husband, because he said, don't you dare say that in front of people. So, yes, I am, you know. And I want you to know that God can use anyone. Seriously. I do this in this manner because I want people to understand that anyone can do it. God doesn't pick and pick people and say, oh, you are going to do this. And you have to want in your heart to do things for God. Now that I've declared those truths to you that God wanted me to do as children of the Most High God, we need to hold dear these things, which will help us to become strong and rooted in God. Now, if you can establish some of these, those things into your life, let me talk to you now about how to start doing that. And then I'll be done. See? Then I'll be done. Just a few things. I don't like to be long-winded, especially if you're not funny at the same time. By reading your word. I know you know this. I told you already, I am not telling you anything you do not know. You all know this already. Take baby steps, reading the word. Even if it's just a verse, get up in the morning, read a verse. But move on from there. Move on from reading just a verse. Don't stay reading a verse, and 10 years later you're still reading just a verse. I'm not talking that kind of stuff. I'm talking, read a verse, move from a verse to two verses, and move on till you can read a chapter. And it's not suggested that you read 10 chapters, to be honest, because what do you get out of it? What do you remember? We can only retain so much. But read enough that when you read it and you study it, you leave with something in your heart, burning deep within you from the word of God. Because the Bible tells me that the word will not return void, but it will accomplish that which he pleases. Amen? Amen? It's going to accomplish the work that God needs to accomplish in you. Amen. Praise God. Learn to pray. And those of you who can pray, when you're in church, pray out a little bit so others can learn. Those of us who can pray, pray around the new converts so they hear you and they get an understanding of what they need to say to the Lord. And learn to pray the word. I like to pray the word back to God. My first task, when I thought of it and he called, I was going to say no. And then I thought of it, I said, okay, I'll teach on prayer because I love prayer. I'm a person that loves prayer. Not that I pray a lot, don't get me wrong. I didn't say I stay on my knees 24 hours. I say I love prayer. Prayer is like my thing. You know, I love to pray. Sister, she knows. I love to pray. I love to stay in the prayer room. I love, even if I'm just there saying, God, here am I, Jesus. I'm laying here, talk to me. You know, that's the kind of person, you know, I try to be. And I guess that's all I learned when I was growing up, that I need to pray and read the word. So as you read the word and you learn to pray, you might not be able to pray for hours. Make sure you pray for at least 10, 15 minutes. And if you have a difficult time, please make a list and take it to prayer. And if it's names, you have enough names to call out for 10 minutes. My mom, my dad, my nieces, my nephew, my uncle, my aunts, my pastor, top priority. Did you hear me? He watches for your soul. He makes intercession for you when you don't even know it. God speaks to him about you. So we keep doing that, right? So you continue until you can pray. So you write down those things, you make your list, you take them to prayer, and you pray for your pastor and his family. And pray for your sisters and your brothers in the Lord. Pray for other churches. Pray for Israel. Pray for Jerusalem, the peace of Jerusalem, and that Israel will be delivered out of all her troubles. The Bible commands us to do that. I know we sometimes don't remember those things. We read the Bible and we don't remember. So that's why God is asking me to just declare those truths to you today. Then after that, you increase your prayer time. You learn to spend time with the Lord, because the more time you spend with him, not that you have to spend a lot of time, because you'll find as you grow in the Lord, you don't need to be on your knees 2 hours before God shows up. How many know that? When you have a friend that you did not know and you meet them the first time, it's awkward because you have to talk to them to get to know them. And the second time, it's like, hi, Mary. Okay, Mary, I see you there. The next time, it's, Mary, child, let's talk. It's a different relationship now. Because now you saw Mary 3 times. How about Jesus? How about Jesus? How about Jesus? So you spend some time. And the more you stay with him, the time you spend with him, the more power you will leave with. And my last. I think I wanted John 15 and 5 also. I have 4 written down, but I know he gave me 5. I told my husband, I said, if I forgot my paper, I could do it. That's God has been good to me for that reason. When he speaks to me in my sleep, sometimes I don't remember. If he gives me a message and I don't get up and write it down, I can't give you the jokes about God and I, but that's all right. He'll say, you're not writing it down? You're not getting up? And I say, okay, God, you want me to get out my sleep? So he does. Okay, John 15 and verse 5. I have 4 written down. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can he, except he abide in me. Did you hear him? I am the vine and he are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Amen. God bless you. Amen. God bless you, brother. Pastor John, please come. Brother John.
Thank you, Sister Brown. Proclaiming the truth. How many of you would like to get past the point where you start overthinking everything you say to God and get to the point where it's a natural, instinctive interaction? I was recently talking to a friend of mine who has that issue, and I said, he loves you. He died for you. He knows you better than you know yourself. You don't have to explain what you meant by what you just said, because he knows better than you do. Just go ahead, and you know, no child has ever come to Dad. Dad, I'm scared because something or other. And he says, oh, you can't say because. You have to say because. No father ever started checking grammar or reading too deep into it. My kid needs something. I'm going to take care of it. And our God is the same. He's sovereign. He's omnipotent. He owns. He controls everything. Everything is in his power. And he is the Almighty God. Amen. So thank you, Sister Brown. We appreciate your word today.